Picture a world where your car sits idle 95% of the time, costs you $9,000 a year, and has a 1 in 100 chance of killing you during your lifetime. Sounds dystopian? That's the world we live in right now. We've normalized a transportation system so broken that future generations will study it the way we marvel at bloodletting in medieval medicine. The average American household spends more on cars than on food, healthcare, or clothing for a machine that spends 23 hours a day parked. Meanwhile, 1.3 million people die annually in traffic accidents, with human error causing over 90% of these preventable tragedies. We're brilliant at building cars, but terrible at driving them. This paradox sits at the heart of the autonomous vehicle revolution, a transformation that promises to save $4 trillion annually in the U.S. alone, while fundamentally reshaping how we live, work, and move through our cities. March 13, 2004, 15 autonomous vehicles lined up in the Mojave Desert for DARPA's Grand Challenge, competing for $1 million to navigate 142 miles without human intervention. The result was spectacular failure. Carnegie Mellon's Sandstorm crashed into a fence. Another vehicle flipped at the starting line. UCLA's entry stalled on an incline. The media dubbed it DARPA's debacle in the desert. Yet this failure ignited something extraordinary. DARPA doubled the prize and teams returned obsessed. Stanford's Sebastian Thrun taught his robot Stanley to learn from human driving patterns. Carnegie Mellon refined their sensors and algorithms. In October 2005, 5 vehicles completed the course. Stanley crossed first in under 7 hours. This was proof that machines could navigate complex environments independently. The 2007 Urban Challenge raised the stakes, requiring vehicles to obey traffic rules in a mock city. Carnegie Mellon's boss claimed victory, demonstrating capabilities that would become today's self-driving technology. The real winner? The technology itself, and the future it unlocked. At the 2002 Detroit Auto Show, GM unveiled Autonomy, a revolutionary skateboard-like chassis with a hydrogen fuel cell and electric motors at each wheel. When researchers compared 3 disassembled vehicles, a Chevy Malibu with 10,000 parts, a Toyota Prius with even more, and their E-Flex prototype with just 1,000 parts, GM CEO grasped the threat. This spells the end to the integrated auto industry as we know it. Electric vehicles would require fewer workers and less expertise, shifting power from mechanical engineers to software developers. Detroit's core competency was becoming obsolete. By 2008, high gas prices and the subprime mortgage collapse devastated sales. The big 3 CEOs flew private jets to Washington begging for bailouts, a humiliation symbolizing their disconnect. In 2009, GM declared bankruptcy. Just as technology made sustainable mobility possible, Detroit collapsed. While traditional automakers fought for survival, outsiders like Google and Tesla walked through the door Detroit had left wide open. After the DARPA challenges stalled autonomous vehicle development, Sebastian Thrun assembled an elite robotics team at Lake Tahoe in 2008. Google's Larry Page set 2 audacious goals: complete 10 challenging 1,000-mile drives and accumulate 100,000 miles on public roads. The team discovered no laws explicitly prevented computer drivers, as long as a human occupied the driver's seat. They programmed human-like behaviors for passenger comfort and used machine learning to recognize thousands of objects and predict behaviors, anticipating a cyclist swerving around parked cars or pickups merging when lanes narrowed. By summer 2010, they'd completed 9 challenges when a driver leaked the project to the New York Times. The team raced to finish the final challenge, navigating foggy mountain roads and descending San Francisco's Lombard Street before the story broke. The autonomous Prius on busy US 101 demonstrated something remarkable. When a Volkswagen cut them off, the Prius had anticipated the move before it happened, gently slowing to maintain safety. This wasn't just automation, it was superhuman perception that would change everything. Columbia University's Earth Institute revealed a stunning possibility. Replacing personally owned cars with shared autonomous vehicles could save Americans nearly $4 trillion annually, equivalent to 20% of GDP. Ann Arbor, Michigan, with 200,000 personally owned vehicles making 740,000 daily trips, could be served by just 18,000 shared autonomous vehicles. These vehicles would arrive within 2 minutes, achieve 75% utilization rates, and travel empty just 5% of the time. The economics were transformative. Approximately 20 cents per mile compared to the $1.50 per mile Americans typically pay for car ownership. This $1.30 per mile savings, multiplied across America's 3 trillion annual miles, represented $3.9 trillion in potential annual benefits. When presented to Google's team in December 2011, engineers immediately grasped the opportunity. Capturing just 10% of total miles could generate $30 billion annually. This convergence of shared fleets, electric propulsion, and autonomous driving would eliminate parking infrastructure, reduce accidents, lower energy costs, and increase productivity. Future generations would marvel at our wasteful system, personally owned vehicles sitting idle most of the time, consuming fossil fuels inefficiently, and killing 3,700 people daily worldwide. By late 2012, Google discovered a dangerous paradox. Their highway assist technology worked too well. Drivers completely disengaged, working on laptops, applying makeup, even falling asleep for 27 minutes at 60 miles per hour. The system required drivers to remain alert and take control with just 6 seconds of warning, yet the technology lulled users into complacency. In December 2012, the team pivoted, abandoned partial automation, and solved complete autonomy instead. They designed Firefly, a two-person pod built explicitly for autonomous transportation. The May 2014 unveiling triggered an industry stampede. Uber's Travis Kalanick viewed autonomous vehicles as existential, since human drivers represented 70 to 90% of costs. When there's no other dude in the car, the cost of taking an Uber anywhere becomes cheaper than owning a vehicle. Traditional automakers scrambled through acquisitions and partnerships. GM invested $500 million in Lyft, launched Maven ridesharing, and spent $581 million to acquire Cruise Automation. The lesson? Partial automation is dangerous precisely because it works most of the time, but occasionally requires intervention, and humans are terrible at monitoring reliable systems that suddenly demand action. On May 7, 2016, Joshua Brown became the first autonomous vehicle fatality when his Tesla Model S collided with a tractor trailer. The autopilot system failed to detect the crossing trailer during 10 seconds of visibility, exposing the dangers of partial automation and overpromising capabilities. Yet this setback refined rather than stopped the revolution. Today's children may learn to drive as a recreational skill, like horseback riding. Early tensions between Silicon Valley and Detroit have transformed into collaboration, with Waymo positioning itself as an enabler, partnering to scale affordably. This isn't a race with winners and losers. It's a transformation benefiting humanity broadly. Cities will become more pleasant with fewer inconveniences, will reduce traffic fatalities by 90%, eliminate oil dependence in transportation, free urban land from parking, reshape downtowns, democratize mobility, and slow climate change. The future is already here, rolling quietly through cities worldwide, learning with every mile. Your grandchildren will ask what it was like when humans drove themselves, and you'll struggle to explain why we trusted ourselves with such a dangerous task.